This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The federal workforce, only a piece of it is in the D.C. area, the Beltway. But all across the country, it's facing the same issue, whether the Beltway or an office in the Plain State, which is recruitment and retaining recruitment and the younger generation, the millennials and Generation Z afterwards. I welcome Francis Rose. He is the host of FedScoop Podcast, also my guide on the acronyms of federal workforces. It's a special language. It's a bit like code breaking. I think of myself as stationed hypo in Honolulu working for Nimitz. I rush into the room and I say, Francis, we think we've discovered an assault on the VA, but we're not sure, so we're going to correlate it with you. Francis, a very good evening. You spoke to a wonderful, charming expert on personnel, retainment, recruitment, and other problems in the federal workforce, Mika Cross. You tell me she's not in the federal workforce now, but she's an advisor to it. This is about challenges that have been in place for years and then special twist because of the pandemic. What is the worry about the tsunami wave of retirement? What does that sound like? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program, as always. The retirement tsunami, retirement wave, there are a number of different permutations of that name, has supposedly been around the federal government since the late 1990s, when human capital leaders in government started to anticipate that at some point in time, there would be a whole bunch of the people that joined the federal government responding to President Kennedy's call to do something for society, that those people would leave, that they would be eligible to retire and they would decide to leave the government. That wave that people anticipated has never really materialized. And people for the last now 30 years almost have been kind of waiting. When is this going to happen? When are all these people that are eligible to leave going to leave? And they're just scary numbers for people who are trying to sustain the government. You know, some agencies have 30% of their workforce eligible to leave. And as you and I have discussed before, when you're eligible to retire in the government, you can leave today. If you decide that day that you're eligible to retire, you can go to work, no notice, and just file your papers and be gone. And so there's a fear that at some point in time, some event could drive a mass departure of people from the government. That's what that terminology means, John, and that's why it's so scary.
All right, human capital, you used it. What is it that the government worries about in human capital?
Well, there's about a million things. We could take the next hour to go through them all, but the big ones are what I just described, that the sheer number of people that could leave could wind up being handicapping the government. And the other is that those people that have been at their jobs for a long time have such a body of knowledge, and that knowledge transfer has been challenging for the government, just as it is for private sector organizations, to get their arms around. Now, the reason that it's harder for the government is because historically people have tended to work for the government longer. Instead of 2, 3, 4, 5 years of institutional knowledge that one has when one leaves the government, they've got 15 or 20 or 40 in some cases. And so that knowledge transfer has proven to be very challenging for agencies that are trying to keep their doors open, keep the lights on, and keep services that they provide to citizens moving.
In other words, the veterans who know how things work and don't work. I understand it. Now, engagement and work-life issues. That's especially true for recruiting younger agencies. You've given me younger employees. You've given me some statistics to say there's a surprising lack of millennials and Gen Z in government. Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, it's the numbers are way, way, way far behind the private sector as far as the number of young people in the, college graduate to a 30 age cohort. And the numbers are way behind the private sector in how long they stay, too. And also for how long there's no measure for how long they stay in government and then leave for the private sector. But those numbers are not satisfactory to anybody in human capital and government either, John.
Now the twist. This is a remarks by the director of the Office of Personnel Management in the news in this last decade because the People's Republic of China purloined an enormous amount of information out of the OPM, but we're not speaking to that today. We're speaking to the problem of maintaining a workforce to grow into the 21st century. Kiran Ahuja introduces the concept of telework and agency hopping. What does that mean?
Agency hopping means that if you have an employee that has decided that she really is committed for whatever reason, personal reasons or professional reasons, to working remotely, and the agency that she's working for calls her back and says, you're going to have to come certain number of days, she just leaves that agency and goes to an agency with a policy for telework or remote work that suits that person's lifestyle better. And what Director Ahuja was responding to when she was talking about that was calls from members of Congress to bring everybody back. Or some, you know, with every issue, there are people that are positioned all across the spectrum on this issue of should federal government employees be coming back to the office. And she was responding to the issue of should these people get called back. The problem is there's no one size fits all solution for the government. I have not encountered anybody in the executive branch that thinks that there should be. But as long as there are differences, if some agency's policy is more flexible than another agency, they're going to be the one that winds up with the best talent. And what Director Ahuja was talking about was they're already starting to see where agencies have been less flexible or where they have to be less flexible because of the nature of the work. They're losing talent at a lot higher rate, and the numbers of people who are going to those more flexible agencies are also starting to register in a way that's statistically significant.
I read from your report at FedScoop, Jason Miller, Deputy Director for Management in the Office of Management and Budget, said telework is, quote, particularly useful in recruiting jobs that are critical skills, cybersecurity, IT, data analytics. Some of those areas where some of this work can be performed in a telework setting is absolutely critical, end quote. So what we do is we serve a Mai Tai on the Big Island and say work for the federal government. Is that how it works?
Well, I don't think that's the goal. I think the goal is to identify people who may happen to be already drinking Mai Tais on the Big Island and get them to come to work for the government where you'd never be able to recruit them if you said, in order to take this job, you have to move to Ottumwa, Iowa or Washington, D.C. But if they're able to continue living the lives that they've already established for themselves, they would consider coming to work for the government. I think that's more the goal.
Does this press upon people now? Francis, you and I have discussed for some time the empty streets of D.C. and the relatively lighter traffic load. Are we seeing already telework being used as a success for keep maintaining a workforce?
It is for the agencies that have been more flexible about it. That's really the bottom line. For the agencies that have said you have to be back certain days or you have to be back certain number of days in a pay period, those agencies are the ones that Director Ahuja talked about that are starting to lose people. And it's the same thing that we've seen in the private sector. I had a conversation with a very nice lady I didn't know in the elevator of my building that works for a big D.C. law firm. And she said they called us all back to the office in May. They said everybody has to come back. And they lost 20% of their staff, their support staff, in the first month that they did that. They backtracked and have not had as much trouble replacing those people. So it's the similar thing that they're seeing in the private sector, that companies are seeing in the private sector, that's happening in the federal government, John.
Yes, it's happening in New York, too. I hear stories, the millennials. Dude, that's not going to happen. I mean, that Francis Rose reporting on the OPM's challenges post-pandemic for recruiting and holding on to talent, especially in this era where everything depends upon hands-on management in an environment that's changing very quickly. I see the challenge. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.